We're going to conclude our series tonight on spiritual warfare. It is a brief series on spiritual warfare. As I've said, it's the 101 version, and it certainly is not all-inclusive. And, you know, I got to tell you that after being a Christian for over 40 years and being a preacher most of that 40, that I don't know everything, and I especially don't know everything about spiritual warfare. But I will say that in this brief series, I believe that the Lord has given us enough that even a baby Christian can understand what it is to be involved in spiritual warfare and equipped you so that you can take a stand against all the wiles of the devil in this battle that we're in. But during this first part of the message, there's going to be a little bit of a review as we go back just to set us up for victory at the finally when we get to it. First, we got to know the battle is real. The New York Times reported a study about the diminishing belief in the devil among Americans. Two-thirds of Americans don't believe in the devil as a living entity. And in a randomly selected survey of over 1,000 Americans, pollsters asked whether they agreed that Satan is not a living being but a symbol of evil. 62% agreed with that statement. That means they believe that Satan doesn't have any real power or influence. He's not even real. He's just a symbol of evil. So we need to realize that there's a whole lot of believers that are not standing against the devil because they've been lulled to sleep and their minds have been blinded to the truth. There's a spiritual world that is very real. Now, most of us are very aware of this right now, that there are viruses that you can't see. I mean, they might be on a surface. There might be even some floating in the air. And listen, but there are viruses that you cannot see. And so since we can't see them, well, we're just going to pretend that they're not real. And since we can't see the forces of darkness, since we can't see the devil, well, we're just going to assume that, well, he's not really real. I'm telling you, whether we see it or not, by the way, I don't think I want to see that unless the Lord wants to show it to me. You know what I'm saying? But whether we see it or not, it's real. What's going on in the seen world is a result of what happens in the spiritual world. Now that's a whole lot to wrap your mind around, but that principle is spread throughout the Word of God, that what's happening here on planet Earth that we see with the natural eye is an absolute result of the things that happen in the spirit. The battle's real. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Your adversary. You have an adversary. And guess who he is? He's the devil. And he's not somebody. You know, sometimes we're just adversarial with people. Well, that's not our adversary. Our adversary is the devil. But here's what it tells us, that we are to be alert and ready. Be alert and ready. Every Christian should be alert and ready. Why? Because the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, some people want to act like the devil is not real, and some people want to act like the devil has no power whatsoever. Listen, we have power over all the power of the enemy. Jesus said that in Luke 10:19, and I'm going to say it again later in the message. But do not think for a second that the devil has no power to devour people. You can see his works every day around our world. You can see the results of Satan and him destroying and stealing and killing in people's lives. And he's seeking whom he may devour. He was always looking for somebody weak. He was like a lion.
A lion doesn't pick the strongest animal in the herd. No, he looks for a weak animal, something that he can take down easily. And he's always looking for somebody that's not ready. Looking for somebody that's not alert. And see, we need to take this serious. When the Bible says, be sober, be alert, be vigilant, be ready, then we need to take that to heart and realize that this battle is real and this isn't a game. And that when, you know what? By the grace of God, a lot of us get away with a lot of foolishness. But I'm just telling you that too often there are people in this world that suffer because of the work of Satan. And so we got to be ready. See, the enemy, your adversary, did you know he wants to destroy your relationship with God? He wants to get your peace. He wants to get your joy. He wants to steal your victory, rob you of your health. He wants to torment you. He wants you to live in fear all the time. He wants to get you bound up in some way. He wants to keep you from fulfilling the purpose of God in your life and being used of God to help other people and impact other people. And he's working against us. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So don't think that the devil doesn't work. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And he is our adversary. So we got to always be alert and ready. Now, that being said, don't give the devil too much credit. You know, a lot of Christians like to go around saying, well, maybe not in so many words, or maybe not just like this, but the attitude is there. Well, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do nothing. You know, that's an old comedian line. The devil made me do it. Your flesh made you do it. You don't let your flesh rule your life. That old sinful nature. You're supposed to be led by the Spirit, not the flesh. So, you know what? We need to be careful. We're not giving the devil credit for things that we did being stupid. I think that's one of his schemes, is to get believers to think that everything that happens in this world or everything that goes wrong is the devil's work. No, a lot of it's just bad people and sometimes our foolishness. We don't need to look for demons around every corner. You see, you don't have to check your shoes for demons before you put them on in the morning. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but there's actually been people who thought they needed to do that. They needed to look in their shoes to make sure there wasn't a demon in there before they put the shoe on. Now, Carmen and I had some scorpions in our house one time, and she got bit on the foot, and so I was trying to get rid of them, and then I was laying in bed asleep at night, and I got bit on the back, and so I got serious about it after that, and, you know, I got up, and I went to the restroom, and when I came back, I said, man, my back is hurting. Why is my back hurting so bad? And it dawned on me. And so I said, Carmen, I got to turn the light on. I turned the light on and threw back the covers, and there's a scorpion. Just saw him just in time going down the side of the bed. And that was his last run. But I have to tell you that there for a while, you know what, I was really paranoid about those scorpions. I mean, there for a while, I was pulling back the covers and looking before I got in bed. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of made me paranoid. What I want to get across to you is that we don't need to be paranoid about the devil. You know, when you get stung once, well, it can kind of make you paranoid, but we don't need to be afraid of the devil. We don't need to be paranoid about the devil, and we certainly don't need to become obsessed with the devil. See, we don't want to be preoccupied with the devil. We want to be preoccupied with God. And so this talk about spiritual warfare, you see, Satan would like to skew this and get somebody thinking about demons and the devil all day long, and they're preoccupied with it. And I just got to tell you that those people that get into that place, they're worse off than the ones that don't think he's real. Those people are really messed up. Sometimes they hear the voice of the devil all day long and can't hear God's voice. And so, no, we don't want to be obsessed with the devil. We don't want to be preoccupied with him. And by the way, sometimes those people end up in an institution. I'm just telling you. So what we got to stick with the Word of God. And here's what the Bible says. We're going to go to Ephesians 6:10. We've read it every week, but here it is. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. First of all, he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so I want you to understand that in our spiritual warfare, we are strong in Him. It's His strength and it's His power. It is not our power. In fact, I want to say this very plainly. It has nothing to do with our personal strength. It is God's strength in us. And that's why a little 100-pound wonder like my wife is a spiritual giant. Because she fights with God's strength, not with the strength of a 100-pound woman. And I'm just telling you, we need to understand this, that this is something that has been done for us. Remember, we read the first week in Ephesians chapter 1 that the power of God that works in us is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That's all the power you could ever need in spiritual warfare. The power that raised Christ from the dead. And so we're just drawing on His strength and His power. Jesus says in Luke 10:19, I give you power, authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So yes, we have power over all the power of the enemy. And I say this frequently because it needs to be said. One of the greatest deceptions that Satan has promoted in our generation is that the scriptures and the promises were only for somebody back then. Listen, that wasn't recorded for the disciples. It was recorded for you and me so that we would know that we had power. The Holy Spirit had those very disciples write these things down so that we would know. We're strong in the Lord when we know who we are in Christ. It's not enough to know about Jesus or to know about His power. We have to know Him personally, and we have to know who we are in Christ. Acts chapter 19. And by the way, we're going to keep coming back to Ephesians chapter 6 for the whole entire message tonight, so you want to keep a finger there, but Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 13, it tells us there were some itinerant Jewish exorcists who took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overpowered them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of the house naked and wounded. That's what you call a whooping. I mean, they ran out naked and wounded. These guys didn't understand anything about spiritual warfare. They were pretenders. And there are still a lot of pretenders. But we are not pretenders if we know Him and we have been born of Him. Listen, we're not pretenders. We are the blood-bought, redeemed, born-again children of God who are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. We need to know that. We need to know who we are. And when we invoke the name of Jesus, it's not, "Gee, I hope this works." It's because we know who we are, and we know Jesus. But you see, it goes back to that first message. It's who we are in Christ and what He has already done for us. Back to Ephesians 6, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we're going to talk about the armor more in a minute, but I want you to see here that he mentions the wiles of the devil. The NIV calls it schemes. Listen, he's talking about his deceptions, his tricks. You need to know this, that Satan has no authority over us. We talked about this, Colossians 1:13. We've been delivered from the dominion of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's Son. See, Satan has no authority over us anymore. But he deceives. He's always working with deception. And he is a master at deception. John 8:44, Jesus said that he's a liar and the father of lies. That's how he deceived Eve. He twists the word of God. Listen to me. He twists the word of God. So you need to know the word of God. So I don't want to scare anybody. I just want people to wake up. I want people to be alert and be ready. You need to know the word of God. I'm not talking about knowing what some preacher said. That goes for this preacher. You need to know the word of God. That's one of the reasons I use a lot of scripture when I preach, because it ain't about my opinion. It's about the word of God and what the word of God says. And you need to know the word of God so that when Satan tries to twist the word, you know it's being twisted. And I just would like to remind you that he even tried to do that to the Lord Jesus. He quoted the scripture to Jesus. But Jesus said, it is written. See, you need to know the word of God so that you don't fall prey to his deceptions. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is a schemer. And he's been at it for a really long time. So you need to know, you can't possibly outsmart him with the wisdom of man. There's no way. I said with the wisdom of man. With the wisdom of man, you'll never do it. Can't be done. And so much of our battle, our spiritual battle, it is an attack on our mind. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now we're going to read that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Well, we already read it once. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. And he says, we walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now notice here, he's talking about spiritual warfare here. And he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, this is a spiritual battle. They are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What are these strongholds? Casting down arguments. He says, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You see, the problem with an unbelieving world, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the God of this age has blinded their minds. We got to tear down those strongholds. We got to cast down those arguments. And listen, it's not done in the natural. It's done with spiritual weapons. He blinds the minds of unbelievers. And listen, he tries to deceive believers all the time. That's why we have to take our thoughts captive. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, you kick it out. See, there's this attitude, this lazy attitude that you just, you know, just let your mind go, like we have no control over our mind. If you live that way, you will always be in a mess. Because if you got messed up thinking, you're going to have a messed up life. You take your thoughts captive. You make them obedient to Christ. If your thoughts aren't lining up with the Word of God, then you need to get them lined up. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what you got to do. But we pull down those strongholds in prayer, and we take control of our thoughts and bring them in line with the Word of Christ. Listen, back to Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. And I'm going to say it one more time. A lot of believers are all confused about who their fight is with. They fight with other believers, and they want to fight with the lost, who are not our enemy. That is one of Satan's most successful deceptions, is to get believers fighting with other believers or fighting with the lost. Our fight is not with flesh and blood. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and it's his deception. It's one of his huge, big deceptions, is to try to get us to think that other people, and especially the lost, are our enemy. We got to be careful with the lost that we don't have an us versus them attitude. Because if we think that the lost are our enemy, we will never reach them. And by the way, Jesus never had that mentality towards the lost. He never alienated the lost. He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't look at them as his enemy. He looked at them as the target, as the people that he wanted to reach. But our battle is with the powers of darkness. Verse 13, he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Now, this is the second time already that he's mentioned the armor of God. When you do spiritual warfare, you need to be dressed for success. How do you take up the whole armor of God? Now, I know some people, they go through these motions in the morning. They put on the whole armor of God. And there's nothing wrong with that if that helps you. But I want you to hear this now. It's not like you're putting on a costume. No, it is spiritual principles and truths that you need to know and you need to live. It's not just something that you pretend about. It's something that you really know and understand in your life. And so tonight we're going to talk about the armor for a few minutes. I'll explain more about that when we get there. But verse 13, he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You need to know this. There's an evil day. There's an evil day. There's an evil day when the enemy will come and try to destroy your marriage. There's an evil day when the enemy will try to destroy your health. There's an evil day when the enemy will try to get your child off on drugs somewhere. I'm just telling you, there's an evil day that you need to be ready to stand against. Sometimes it may be a direct attack on you. Sometimes it may be an attack on your loved ones. It may be an attack on your coworker, a friend, an acquaintance, or even a stranger that you just happen to hear about. I'm just telling you, though, we need to be ready to stand in that evil day and fight. Stand. You notice he keeps saying stand. Having done all, to stand. See, when you've done all you know to do, this is what you do. You stand. You have to stand. You got to take a stand and keep standing. You don't quit. You don't run. You stand. This is what he declares to us that we are to do in this spiritual warfare, is stand. This may sound strange, but you see, you don't have to chase the devil. You don't have to go out looking for a fight. You don't have to run him down. Here's what you got to do. You got to stand. If you back down, if you shrink back in fear, you lose. So you stand. And having done all, you stand. Don't make it complicated. Stand. That's what you got to do. And the key thought behind that word stand is that we hold our ground. Now, I'm not saying that we're not advancing the kingdom and we're not reaching people with the gospel. But here's the point, is that we're standing because we already have the victory. Amen. We're fighting with the victory. Listen, our salvation is a done deal. And Jesus has already provided for us to be free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He's already made provision for our healing. I'm just telling you, there are a lot of things that He's already taken care of. He's already promised us in the Word, and we need to stand on the Word of God and believe those things. When the enemy tries to come and say, no, it's not going to happen, the circumstances look like it'll never happen, that's when we stand. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the things in the Old Testament were recorded as examples for us. And when the children of Israel left Egypt and the Egyptian army pursued them and cornered them at the Red Sea and they were trapped, they were like sitting ducks and they were all in a panic. They were all afraid. And Moses says to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. And I want you to know that if you'll stand, God will fight for you. But we have to obey His word. We have to be willing to stand in the battle and not give up and not back down. Does that work? James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, you don't have to go attack the devil. You already have victory. You just need to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, the first part of the verse is very important. You got to be submitted to God. This isn't a game we're playing. It isn't dress up. You submit yourself to God. When you're submitted to God's authority, then His power is on your life. But remember this, our battle is not a battle that we are trying to take something from Satan. We have the position of victory. We've been blessed, Ephesians 1:3, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All the promises of God. This is what the Bible says. All the promises of God in Him are yes and amen. And you see, the enemy is always trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we stand our ground and we defend what we already have and what belongs to us in Christ. He is a thief and a liar. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we stand our ground against him. I love this story from 2 Samuel chapter 23. It is about one of David's mighty men, a guy named Shammah. And it tells us in verse 11 and 12, that when the Philistines had gathered together into a troop on a piece of ground full of lentils, all of the people fled from the Philistines. But this guy, verse 12, it says, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field and he defended it and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Here's this guy. Everybody else was afraid and left, but he's standing in the middle of this field of beans. Would you die for a field of beans? I don't know what this was all about, but I just know this guy was not going to let the enemy have it. You know what? I didn't see any indication here. Maybe I didn't read enough of the story, but I didn't see any indication here that he necessarily owned the field of beans. He just wasn't going to let the enemy have it. And you know what? Whether it's your field of beans, anybody got something more valuable than a field of beans? Listen, whether it's your kid or somebody else's kid, we're just not going to let the devil have them. We're going to stand and we're going to fight for them. And that's what we do. That's how we do spiritual warfare. We're just not going to have it. I read in the Bible in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 where Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. And in the very next verse, in verse 19, he says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. He says, whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. And I'm telling you, we have the authority to say no. Somebody must be praying for me then. Praise the Lord. We got to stand. And here's what happens. A great victory comes. He'll try to steal your joy. He'll try to steal your peace. He'll try to steal your health. Your household being saved, that's what a great promise that is. Children serving God, fight for it. Back to Ephesians. Verse 14, he says, stand therefore. Says it again. Stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth. You see, Satan is a liar. I told you, he uses deception all the time. Jesus said to the Father in his prayer in John 17, thy word is truth. And you see, when you know the truth, well, Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, when you know the truth will set you free. So we got to know the truth of the Word of God. Having your waist girded with truth. You got to know the truth so you don't succumb to the deception of the enemy. You know, Satan's schemes always involve deception. He'll try to convince you you can't win. He'll try to tell you that it's too late. He'll try to trick you into disobeying God or making you make some compromise in your life. I can't tell you how many times before we built this building, you know, I came back to Grace in 2004, and I knew it was God's will for us to move. And we finally moved into the shopping center, had our first service there the first Sunday of 2007. And I thought, surely we'll get that building built in a year and a half. I wouldn't sign a lease any longer than 18 months because I knew we'd get that building built. Well, it was 7 years later when we finally had it built. And I can't tell you how many times I heard that voice saying to me, it's never going to happen. I can't tell you how many people allowed the devil to use them as a tool to say that it was never going to happen, even to accuse us of raising money for something we weren't going to do. All kinds of things the devil threw at us again and again and again. But we're in it, and God did it. There was a great victory because we stood and we wouldn't back down. And I'm just telling you, the enemy will come and he'll try to bring his deceptions and say, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Don't be deceived. You got to gird yourself with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we talked about righteousness as a gift that's already been given to us. We need to understand that the accuser of the brethren, he's always going to come at you with, you know what you did. You know who you are. He's always going to try to steal your confidence with condemnation and get you to feeling like that God's not going to move or work on your behalf because you know you don't deserve it. Oh, I know. I know some of you, the devil just beat you up. You know how I know? Because I've been where you are. It's amazing how he can tempt you and try to get you to do something wrong, and then he'll beat you up for doing it. But here's what I also know. Listen, if you've messed up in some way, 1 John 1 and 9 says you confess it to God. He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know what happens when you're cleansed of all unrighteousness? You're righteous. And you stand before God, and there's not anything the enemy can do to you because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, you skipped your prayer time. How's God going to answer your prayer? I'm just telling you, Jesus is the one that made you righteous. It's 2 Corinthians 5:21, somebody that needs that reference. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I love this one from the Old Testament, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. See, this isn't just a New Testament principle. Abraham was righteous because he believed God. And here we read that Even in Isaiah, God was saying, their righteousness is from me. It's Jesus that paid the price for our righteousness. So don't listen to the accusations of the enemy. You got the breastplate of righteousness on. See, when you start listening to all that stuff, it'll rob you of your confidence to believe God. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I want you to understand, we are always to be ready to share the gospel. And we should share the gospel. And I know that a lot of people say that's what this is talking about. But in the context of this passage, he's talking about us having peace. See, if Satan can get you rattled, if he can get you all upset and all out of sorts and all shook up and steal your peace, it's going to keep you from being effective in your prayer. I mean, if you think that you're losing the battle, he's got you turned the wrong way. You got to have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. This is a gospel of peace. You got to always have a firm footing. Whatever Satan throws at you can't shake you when you have the peace of God. Remember, Jesus said, my peace I give to you. It's not a peace the world gives, and the world can't take it away, and neither can the devil. Don't let him take your peace. Verse 16, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, when he says above all, that means, hey, you got to get this one. Taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, think about this. The devil throws all kinds of fiery darts against you. A lot of times there'll be circumstances and adversity. There'll be accusations. There'll be thoughts that come against you. But however it comes, I'm telling you, here's the answer for all of it. It's the shield of faith. That we are believing God. We are standing on His Word. We are trusting Him. And it says it will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You got to keep your faith strong with God's Word. Don't listen to the wrong voices. Don't look at the wind and the waves. But keep listening to God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep that shield of faith up. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So remember, our faith always has to be based on the Word of God. If it's not based on the Word of God, it's just pretend. Real faith is based on God's Word. It's the Word of God that framed the worlds. You see, what we see in the natural is a result of something that took place in the spirit. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So no matter what it looks like, we believe the Word of God and we stand with the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy and take the helmet of salvation. Jesus is my Savior. He saved me. He set me free. He delivered me. He healed me. He made me whole. I'm an overcomer and I know it. He's not going to steal that from me. I got the helmet of salvation on and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Wow. You realize how powerful that is? The sword of the Spirit. This is not a carnal weapon. It is a spiritual weapon that is mighty in God. Why is it so mighty? Because it is the Word of God. At this word, angels and demons move. They answer to this word. I'm telling you, this sword of the Spirit. When we pray, we need to pray the Word of God. We need to use the Word as often as we can. We need to speak the Word of God. There's such great power in the Word of God. Remember, it framed the worlds. And when you get the armor of God on, now I want you to understand, this isn't something that you have to go through the motions and put this on. No, it becomes a part of us. that we have the armor of God on. We understand these things. We know these things. And when you have the armor of God on, you are ready to do spiritual warfare. And so verse 18, you'll notice that it is not a new sentence. It is not a different thought. It's not a different paragraph. It's not even a different sentence. He goes right on in after saying that we're to have this, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak it boldly as I ought to speak. Here's the first thing I want to say about this is it's prayer that makes the difference. It is prayer that is where the battle is won. Something happens when God's people pray. You know what that something is? God moves. And I tell you, He will fight the battle for us. It says we're to pray with perseverance. We got to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. Persevere. Don't give up. Sometimes things don't happen in a moment. Sometimes they don't happen in a day. Sometimes it takes a little while, and you just got to persevere in prayer. It's a wonderful story in Daniel chapter 10 where Daniel has received a revelation from the Lord, but he doesn't understand it. And so he begins to pray and fast. And he prays and fasts for 21 days. And finally, an angel comes and he tells Daniel, he said, from the very first day that you prayed, your prayer was heard. But there was a spiritual battle that took place in the heavenlies. He said, finally, Michael came and helped me. And so now I'm here to give you the message from God, to help you understand what's going to happen with the people of God. 21 days because of the spiritual battle that was taking place. But you know what Daniel did? He kept praying and fasting and praying and fasting, and his answer came. You see, the devil didn't want him to know that answer. And sometimes you're praying and you're waiting. You know what you need to do? Keep praying. Don't stop. There's a spiritual battle that's taking place, and you got to keep standing. You can't back down and say, well, I guess that's long enough. I'm giving up. No, you got to keep standing in prayer. You see, I just felt like the Lord gave me this. We need some sweat equity in prayer. You see, sweat equity is when you put in the time, the effort, the energy, the physical effort and energy into something. And I'm not making a fleshly thing out of prayer. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm just talking about we need to do the work of prayer. And get serious about it. You put the sweat equity of prayer in it, and then we're going to see the results. Not because, this isn't a carnal thing what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that we're believing God and putting our trust in God, and we're willing to do what the Bible says and persevere in prayer. We stand in the gap for those that don't know how to stand for themselves. We got to be strong in prayer for the weak. And when we pray for others, their eyes can be opened. You see, there's so many that are blinded, not just the lost. There's so many believers that are just living in spiritual darkness. They've been blinded. They've been deceived about so many things. And I'm going to try to wrap this up, but it's real important. I at least want to tell you the story of Elijah and his servant. That his servant looked and he saw all of the chariots and the armies of the enemy, and he was so afraid. But Elijah prayed for him that the Lord would open his eyes so that he could see the army of God that was all around. And God did that. And his servant was able to see that there were more for them than was against them. And I'm just telling you, we need to intercede for others that way, that they'll be able to see that there's more for them than is against them, that the armies of God are there, that our God is bigger, our God is more powerful. And we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to back down. We don't have to wonder who's going to win this time. We just have to stand our ground and keep standing. And God will come through. Amen.